Give the Lord a loud shout of praise. Father, thank you. Because you are a God who never fails. You confirmed it just now. You confirm it again and again and again in the lives of your people. Be glorified in Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap of hand as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I welcome everyone here this morning in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Very, very quickly, we shall be coming into praying for marital and family breakthroughs at the end of the service. But we shall proceed to deal with the subject we started with last Sunday, positioning, posture and positioning for divine direction, part 2. It's our month of divine direction. And we are trusting the Lord to direct us appropriately so that we don't miss road and we don't miss target. The Bible said, where we read last week, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 all the way to verse 4. See, I will stand upon my watch and I will set me upon the tower and I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the answered and said unto me, write the vision and make it plain that he may run that readeth it. I will stand upon my watch and I will watch to see what he will say to me. Our subject, our objective this morning is understanding the posture or the positioning for divine direction. What posture, what positioning? How do we organize ourselves to receive from God, to hear from God? I want to, by way of introduction in this second part, say that God is more interested in speaking than most people are interested in hearing. He's more interested in speaking than most people are interested in hearing. So the question is, it's not whether God is speaking, but whether man is hearing or listening. The question is not God speaking? The question must be, is man listening? I want you to take note of three facts very quickly. Number one, that God is always speaking. He's not a talkative, but he's always saying something. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth. So he's proceeding. He continuously proceeds from his mouth. God is saying something. Job chapter 33, verse 14 to 17. Job 33, 14 to 17 says, God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream of the night, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instructions. He opened their ears. So he speaks once, he speaks twice. That the meaning of that is God is speaking over and over again, he's speaking again and again, but man is not hearing. So God is always speaking. Number two, man must be deliberate to hear God. We must be deliberate and decisive to hear God. Psalm 85, verse 8, he says, I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. The question is not whether God is speaking, but whether I'm hearing. I will hear. I have made up my mind to hear. I will hear what God will speak. I will hear it. I must hear it. I will hear it. I must hear it. I will hear what God is speaking. I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. He said, I have made up my mind. My will is involved. My decision is involved. I am determined to hear what God is speaking. So man must be deliberate, must be decisive, must be intentional to hear God. Number three, man must maintain the correct posture or positioning or enabling environment to hear God. The correct posture, positioning, enabling environment to hear God. The posture must be correct, the positioning must be correct, the environment, the enabling environment must be right to hear God. Last Sunday, and that was what we saw in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. He said, I will stand upon my watch. I will set myself upon the tower. So there is a setting. There is a setting that makes it easy to hear God. We began looking at them from last Sunday. And we are going to continue this Sunday. But for the sake of those who were not here last Sunday, I'd like you to pick up that message. And then I'll just go over it briefly. Number one, we said that posture and positioning is, number one, be desperate to know the mind of God. God, you are saying something and I want to know. Be desperate. Number two, we said possess the quality of meekness. We must possess the quality of meekness. Number three, commit your steps to the Lord. Desperate to know, possess the quality of meekness, don't be arrogant. Commit your steps to the Lord. Number four, possess the attitude of inquiry. The attitude of one who asks questions. What are you saying, Lord? Attitude of inquiry. The capacity to ask questions. Five, we said we must possess or be charged with the word. Be charged with the word. With the word of God. Be charged with the word of God. And number six, pray abundantly in the spirit. Pray abundantly in the spirit. Having said all of that, we are going to continue further today with about five or six other points, or the number of points that time will permit us. Number seven, therefore, is possess the climate of joy and praise. The climate of joy and praise. The voice of God travels in the vehicle of joy and praise. The voice of God flourishes in the climate of joy and praise. When Elisha needed to hear God in 2 Kings chapter 3, and in verse 15, he said, bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass, as the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he began to prophesy. Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 29 and 30. The prophet Isaiah said, you shall have a song as in the night. When a holy solemnity is kept, you shall have gladness of heart, like when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel, and the Lord shall cause his voice to be heard. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard. If you have a song up in the night, if you have gladness of heart, the Lord will cause his voice to be heard. Truth is, God does not cause his voice to be heard by everybody. God causes his voice to be heard by the joyful, the excited, the glad, the praiseful. That explains why many have not been able to hear God, because of permanent depression. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, there were prophets. The church that was in Antioch. And in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord, that is, as they worshiped the Lord, another translation said, and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, the Holy Ghost said, the Holy Ghost said, joy, praise, provokes the voice of God. You look at Moses. I can say that nobody heard God like Moses in the Old Testament. Moses was practically. Other people heard the voice of God. Moses saw God face to face. Moses was a man of songs. Exodus chapter 15 verse 1 talked about the songs of Moses. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song. Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 22 talked about the song of Moses. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day. Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 30. The song of Moses. Moses spoke in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 44. He also wrote the songs. And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people, he and Hoshea, the son of Nun. Moses was a man of praise, a man of songs, a man of worship. So he heard God easily. What of David? David was song and praise personified. He was song and praise personified. And also he was divine direction personified. Psalm 119:164. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. He praised God permanently and he heard God continually. You remember 1 Samuel chapter 30 in verse 6 all the way to verse 8 when he will inquire of the Lord and the Lord will speak to David. He praised God permanently and he heard God permanently. What about Paul the Apostle? Paul the Apostle was a man of accurate direction. And he wrote so much about joy and praise. Philippians chapter 4 verse 4. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 20, Paul the Apostle speaking, and he said, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was the same Paul who said in Romans chapter 8 verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Beloved, to keep the voice of God clear in your ears, keep your joy alive. Alive. Keep your joy alive. Listen to this. The presence of joy is the presence of his voice. Joy makes you to hear God. On the other side, depression keeps the voice of God far. As a matter of fact, the only voice a person will hear with depression is the voice of the devil. The voice of condemnation. Nobody likes you. Kill yourself. That's Satan speaking. This world is not fair. People are very bad. Nobody to trust. The only voice a person hears in depression is the voice of Satan. And so today, I take authority over every demon of depression. Their yoke is broken off your life in the name of Jesus. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. If you are saying amen, say the loudest amen. Listen to this.
I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Yes, I love you, Lord. You are God. Shikoko baradali ala barozu.
Lord, I'm about to make a decision. I'm about to take a journey. Are you involved? What are you saying? Sheko pakalaya darada. Sheko lorodozala. That is far better. That, Lord, I want to hear you. What are you saying? You are talking to other people. You can't talk to me. Talk to me now. You can never quarrel God into speaking. Don't forget it. You will never be able to quarrel God into talking. God can never be intimidated by man. He can't. My mother used to say that a mother shouldn't fear the face of her children. If you fear their face, you can't correct them. If you fear their face, you can't tell them what they need to know. Say, as a parent, you can't fear the face of your child. God, the Creator, can't fear your face. You can never quarrel God into giving you direction. Please bear that in mind. If it is His voice you want to hear, you shall have a song. Isaiah 30 verse 29, you shall have a song. And in verse 30, and the Lord will cause His voice to be heard. You shall have a song, and the Lord will cause His voice to be heard. That was point number 7. Number 8, maintain the climate of expectancy. The climate of expectancy. That is, I am ready to hear you, Lord. Expectancy. Psalm 85 verse 8 said, I will hear. I am expecting to hear. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1, I will stand upon my watch and I will watch to hear. Maintain the climate of expectancy. Like we said in our introduction, to hear God, you must be decisive. You must be deliberate. You must be decisive. You must be deliberate. Now look at this. As a mortal man, when I am talking to somebody, I watch their attention. If it's not somebody to waste words with, I summarize my speech. I'm talking to him. Excuse me, sir. Let me just answer this call. My discussion has summarized. That's mortal man. Young people who come and say, I want you to be my father in the Lord. When we are talking, some of them look at your eyes as if you cough, they will receive it. Before you can say one, he carries the pen, he carries the paper. That one you just download, you even speak beyond your preparation. Because this is a ground to release. But when you are talking to somebody, Then after a while, he yawns. You summarize it. That, and God made us in His image. Anybody who is a writer knows that there is the connection between the thought and the pen. By the time you put down a thought, you pull more thoughts. It's clear. In the same way, expectation causes the release of revelation. It causes the release of direction. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? So this attitude of expectancy is very important for two reasons. First, that God is speaking all the time. God is speaking all the time. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So, you went to bed in the night expecting to receive something. For me, for a long time, I will keep a pen and a paper beside my, in fact, a pen and my jotter, my revelation jotter, right beside the bedside. I am telling God, in case you have anything to say, I am ready to write. That's overnight. I will interrupt my sleep to record a song I received and then go back to sleep. And then the next day to develop more on it. I will interrupt my sleep to write down a revelation I received. And then continue. And then look at it again. And any time the students are ready, the teacher is ready. You know, in most schools, when the teacher arrives in class, And one student is standing on top of the table. Another one is standing on the chair. Another one is here. If it's a tough teacher, he might just, all right, are you people not set? See you later. When you are ready, call me. When the teacher is ready, the students are ready. Expectation means first that God is speaking all the time, and second, God can use anything to speak per time. He can use any situation, anything to speak. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 18 verse 1, God told Jeremiah, and the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. There is something I am going to use the potter to say to you. Go ahead. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me while I was watching the potter, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? That is why expectancy is needed. Because God can speak to you in your bathroom, when you are having a shower, when you are sitting on the white throne. He can speak to you using any situation. Personally, I enjoy driving a lot. My wife and my children think there is no driver as good as myself when he's driving them. My wife says if I'm driving, she can go to sleep and just sleep. But I stopped driving many years ago because at times I'm on the steering and revelation is coming. And insight is coming and I don't have the time to write. And then by the time I reach where I'm going, maybe it has escaped. That was the only reason why I got a driver. Only reason. So I can be writing as it is flowing. At the junction, I'm seeing something, hearing something. I'm hearing something, receiving something. God is speaking, and I'm writing. That was what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 24 and in verse 30. Proverbs 24, verse 30. He said, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well, and looked upon it, and received instruction. While I was in observation, instruction was flowing. That is why you must be in expectancy. Because many times God spoke, you didn't hear. He used the situation to say something. You were not expectant. You were not observant, so you heard nothing. You were not expectant. You were not observant, so you heard nothing. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy. The next time God speaks, you shall hear. If you are a believer, say loud amen. So you should possess the climate of joy and praise. Maintain the climate of expectancy. Number three, or number nine now, engage the weapon of fasting. Of course, fasting and prayer. Engage the weapon of fasting. In Ezra chapter 8 verse 21, Ezra said, I proclaim the fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God. For what purpose? To seek of Him a right way for us. We decided to fast to get direction. To seek a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. We decided to fast to afflict us to our souls. Isaiah chapter 58 verse 6 and verse 8. He said, is this not the fast I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that he break every yoke. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily. Light breaking forth. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. We looked at that earlier on. As they were fasting and ministered to the Lord, the Holy Ghost said. Two things fasting will do. First, fasting sharpens and sensitizes the spirit of man to divine signals. It sharpens. It sensitizes you. You are able to pick up signals in the realm of the spirit faster in the climate of the fast. It sensitizes you to divine signals, divine directions. Sensitizes you. Number two, fasting leads to the breaking forth of light. The breaking forth of light out of scripture. And when we begin to talk about the ways that God speaks, you will know why this is important. The breaking forth of light. Hidden light, mysterious light, breaks forth. So in the period of the fast, it is possible to see more out of scripture than you have seen at other times. It's possible to see more out of light than you have seen at other times. The other day I heard God's servant, our father and the Lord Bishop, David Oyedepo, talking about the God of the three-day intervention. Something he discovered that I discovered without hearing it from him at any time. That for most interventions, you know, Jesus was in the belly of the earth for 3 days. Noah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. Lord, I am looking for an answer within the next 3 days. Desperate fast. Now, answer informed in terms of direction, in terms of speak to me. That happened for me when it was time to step into ministry. When it was time to identify when to get married. At strategic junctions of my life. That happened for him when he was pursuing the light on supernatural supply, financial prosperity. What is the key? 3 days. And Kenneth Hagin also talked about his 3-day schedule of waiting on the Lord, asking questions, and God answered him. If God speaking, say aloud, amen. How many of you know that too much food produces dullness of the senses? Actually, there's something we call in medicine postprandial sedation. PPS is a physiological thing that happens. The meaning for the layman is sleepiness of eatfulness. How many of you have ever felt very sleepy after you ate some food? Some food, it is more. For example, akpu. The heavier the food, the more the sleepiness and the sleepfulness. Adam lost his inheritance by what he ate. Esau lost something by what he ate. It's possible that there is something to gain when you avoid food even for a season. Am I communicating? But when you decide to sharpen your spirit with the fast, there are signals to pick. So, two ways to do this. First of all, you do the periodic fast. All right? The periodic consecrational fast. That is, you are not looking for anything in particular, but you are call it maintain the regular consecrational fast. I call that for the sake of baseline sensitivity. Baseline. To maintain a sensitivity on the baseline. So that when you see a 419, you can tell. You are not asking God a question yet. When somebody is telling a story that is not correct, you are sharp. That is, you are maintaining a baseline sensitivity. Regular, periodic, consecrational fast. Then the second one is the deliberate fast for direction. When you are at a junction of direction. at the strategic junction of your life, you deliberately declare a fast. Lord, I'm at the junction. I finished university. Which way do I go? Which way do I go? Which line do I follow? What course of action do I take? I have an opening in America, opening in Canada, opening in the UK, and here in Nigeria. Which one should I follow? At strategic junctions, declare that fast. But the other one keeps your sensitivity in the baseline. That is regular. Somebody has something here. Say it loud, amen. I prophesy upon you today the discipline for spiritual exercise. The discipline for spiritual exercise that will make you sensitive in life. The grace and discipline for that is released upon you in the name of Jesus. That grace is released upon you in the name of Jesus. The power of productive thought. You can call it meditation in bracket. The power of productive thought. When we begin to speak on the ways in which God leads, you will understand that God speaks on occasions through the thought. The angel came to Joseph. Joseph suddenly got to know that Mary was pregnant. What am I doing? And as he thought, Matthew chapter 1 verse 19 to 20. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, not before he thought, why? In the course of the thinking, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. In a dream. Saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Peter saw a vision, Acts chapter 10 and in verse 19. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit of God interrupted the thought and said, behold, three men seek thee. Somebody say a loud amen. I didn't say warrior. God does not speak to warriors. I'm talking of thought. Productive thought. Lord, what are you saying? See what the scripture said. What are you saying to me? What are you doing at this time? What do you want me to know? While he thought on the vision. Two things I want you to understand about the thought. First, God hears and answers thought. God hears thought. In the ears of God, thought is as loud as voice. Isaiah chapter 65 verse 24, he said, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, before they call, you haven't called, which means you are just thinking it. I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So God is waiting for what we are asking. He's also hearing what we are thinking. So he hears an answer thought. The answer can come in the form of a miracle. And the answer can come in the form of a direction. You ask a question, he answers you. Am I communicating? God hears and answers thought. Secondly, when the thought is focused and delivered from distraction, direction arrives. When the thought becomes focused. Because many times, most people's thoughts are like the football field in 1,000 directions. That was why he said in Psalm 46 verse 10, calm down, be still, then you will know that I am God. Calm down, quieten your mind. Let your thought be focused on something particular. And you will know that I am God. When the mind is like a football field, wandering endlessly and aimlessly in different directions, it is difficult to hear God. There is something they call attention deficit disorder. ADD. Hyperkinetic syndrome. Very terrible condition that any parent will have to deal with. And I pray for any mother here or parent here dealing with that kind of situation. The Lord deliver you completely in Jesus' name. Child is permanently restless. Carry this, you remove it, he carries another, he jumps up. He's just running the life of their parents. Terrible medical condition. He doesn't hear anything. Come, he's not hearing you. He's permanently distracted. When the mind is like that, spiritual attention deficit disorder, it becomes impossible to hear anything from God. That is why it is critical for the thought to be focused. You engage the power of productive thought, and then the voice comes. I prophesy upon somebody here today. Grace to discipline your thought. Grace to disciple your thought. That grace is released upon you right now. You are saying amen. Shout the loudest. Amen. Is anybody receiving anything at all? Number 11. Connect with the voice of your teachers. The voice of your teachers. Or as the case may be, depending on what the case is, the voice of your teacher, your pastor, your mentor, your tutor. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 8 to 10. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 8 all the way to verse 10. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou did call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down. And it shall be, if he call you, that you shall say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down. Samuel was hearing the voice of God in Eli's voice. God was using Eli's voice to call Samuel. How many of you know when your mother calls you, you know that voice? There is even a way he will call you. Other people call you Michael or Mike. She will call you, oh, Michael! Then you know that this is mother calling me. And you can't miss it. You can't miss it. And so Samuel was hearing the way Eli calls him with the voice of God and ran to Eli. You are calling me. And the voice came three times. Okay. Oh, I'm not the one. He may be using my voice, but I'm not the one. When next you hear it, tell him, Lord, speak. Your servant hears. Isaiah chapter 10. Chapter 30, verse 20. Very critical, very graphic. He said, even if the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, no matter what you are going through, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. Don't be distant from your teacher's voice, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Then your ears shall hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Two things are very important to note here. First, that God uses the voice of his servants to speak to his people. That is, most people here said, I saw the senior pastor in the night who said this or said that or gave me such and such direction or said, do this or do that. He said, when thy eyes see thy teachers and hear their voice, then you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. God will use both the voice and the form of your pastor, of your teacher, of your mentor to speak to you. Very important. Number two, the Lord will pass through the instructions of your teacher to give you direction. That is the instruction while you sit. That is not a revelation now. Not even a hearing of a voice. I've seen those who said, I'm about to take a decision and I hear your voice. He's hearing my voice. God is using my voice to talk to me. He hears my voice. Says, don't do that. Why should you do that? Now, beyond that, while the preaching is going on in the church, God takes the instruction you are receiving and gives you direction out of it. How many of you have received like that before? It shows you, gives you direction out of it. Gives you even corrections out of it. Gives you rebukes out of it. That is why he said, don't disconnect from the voice of your teachers. Let me say it like this. Those who miss out on the voice of instruction from their teacher easily misses out on direction from heaven. Those who miss out on the voice of instruction from their God-ordained teachers can miss out on correction and on direction from heaven. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. You know, there are those, all they come to church for is prophecy. Lay hands on me, pray. Minister to me. When you are talking about hear the word, it doesn't bother them. One day a man came to me and he said he had a problem. He wanted me to pray for him. So I wrote some passages of scripture for him to go and read. Some Ephesians chapter 6. So read through these passages. And then after some days and pray with it, come back, I'll pray for you. He was the one who reported himself. He said he was very angry. He thought when he came, I would just pray for him and cast out devil or something. And I said, you should go and read Ephesians. He said, on the way he was going, I should read Ephesians, Philippians. Is it only Ephesians? I will read the whole Bible self. Is it only Ephesians, only Colossians? Why didn't you tell me to read the whole Bible? He was vexing with me for trying to rescue his life. That's the mentality of most people. They don't want to pass through the process, but they want the product. The person preaching and ministering didn't get it like that. He got it through rugged word. Rugged waiting on the Lord. Rugged research in scripture. The other day I went into my library and picked out about 20 different books that are relevant to what I'm pursuing right now. And I've started the journey of eating them. You see, there is nobody who is old enough to eat. Have you ever seen any old man in your village? They say this man is 85 years old now. All the eating he has done since his childhood should be enough. I said they want to kill him if he's a witch. You can't come to the point where you say, I'm not eating anymore. That is how it is spiritually. And when there are times where you lock up yourself with the messages that are related to the area of your question, area of direction, you are a businessman, you need to explode. You are whatever, you just gather them together. The voice of your teachers, the voice of your teacher, while the thing is firing and thundering, maybe you are fasting and praying at the same time, then bam, 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 out of the speakings, a direction comes. You lay down a little to sleep, bam, revelation comes, and clarity has arrived. if you will be accurately and actively connected to the voice of your teachers. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. So there are some fastings. The only thing you are doing in the fast is eating books, eating tapes, eating materials that are related, praying in the spirit, expectant, and then light comes. My wife and I read Bishop Oyedepo's book, Breaking Financial Hardship, far before we stepped into ministry, and read the book of T.L. Osborne. And before we stepped in, we made up our mind that we are going to be distributors for God. We are not going to be beggars or borrowers. We are not going to look at any member of the church as a source of supply. That kept us and has helped us. And there is not one person. We respect everybody. But we saw long ago that God was our source. We got those directions. If you listen to Bishop Oyedepo enough, you will hear him speak about how he read Kenneth Copeland's book and T.L. Osborne's book and all that they did for his life in hearing the voice of God and moving forward. Beloved, I want to encourage you. This is the time. If you are looking for direction, you must be close to the voice of your God-ordained instructors. Direction, instruction coming from there, and they will change your life. I stepped practically into the realm of the supernatural. Smith Wigglesworth's book, The Apostle of Faith, John G. Lake's Adventures in God. And I made up my mind, I can't live an ordinary life. I can't live a routine, mundane life by what I saw and what I experienced there. And it is speaking till tomorrow. I prophesy to somebody here, something is changing in your life today. If you are saying amen, that amen will come louder. If you are saying amen, it will thunder like fire. Finally for today, be obedient to what you hear and know. You want God to speak to you. You want God to talk to you. You must be obedient to the one you already know, the one you already heard. Take note of these three things and don't forget it. First, God does not waste instruction. He doesn't waste it. He doesn't waste instruction. God does not waste instruction. He is not an instruction waster. Second, God does not speak to the rebellious. He doesn't speak to the rebellious. He can't speak to the rebellious. God settled the solitary in families, Psalm 68, verse 6. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. He doesn't speak to the rebellious. Third, listen to this. God will not speak to people who will negotiate, overanalyze, or rationalize the instruction. What is God saying? What does he mean? He will not speak. When he said to Abraham, get out of your father's house to the land I will show you. Abraham did not say, so which particular land? Why should I get out of my father's house? What will I do with my relations? God will not speak to those who will negotiate, overanalyze, or rationalize divine instruction. Mark chapter 4, verse 24 to verse 25. Very important. Mark 4, 24. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. Pay attention to what you hear by your own standard of measurement, that is, to the extent that you study spiritual truth and applied godly wisdom, it will be measured to you, and you will be given even greater ability to respond, and more will be given to you besides. Listen to this. And I want to say this. First, okay, fourth. You cannot access the spoken word if you don't value the written word. It's Bible. It is not possible to hear what God is saying if you don't care for what God has written. You cannot access the spoken word if you don't value the written word. Somebody is expecting God to bless them. Father, bless my life, bless everything. Yet the spoken word said, you shall serve the Lord, and he shall bless your bread and your water. You have no value for service, and you want God to speak to you on how he is going to bless you. It doesn't work that way. Somebody is trusting God for financial openings, heavens to open, for resources to flow. He says, bring all your tithes into the storehouse and prove me if I will not open the windows of heaven. You don't care about the tithe. You are even careless about your giving. It is only during offering time you are struggling to find out what is in your pocket. Some of us calculate our month's giving from the beginning of the month. The envelopes are ready till the end of the month for every service counted. Worked like a technician. And you don't care for that. And yet you want God to talk to you about financial increase. It doesn't work like that. You cannot access the spoken word if you don't value the written word. Lord, I need your power in my life. And you want God to show you the secrets of power yet? He said, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. You are not witnessing to nobody. Yet, you want the power of God. This is the next thing I want you to hear. I think that will be the fifth, and I'll be closing there. You cannot expect God to speak a fresh word when you have not obeyed the last word. You can't expect God to speak a fresh word when you have not obeyed the last word. You can't expect God to speak a fresh word until you have obeyed or acted on the last word. Maybe God told you some time ago, directly or indirectly, you are doing a lot of unnecessary expenses. Cut it down. Cut down on your time wastage. Cut down on your phone usage. Internet activity. Cut it down. Movie watchings that are aimless. You haven't done that. And you are saying, Lord, I can't even hear God at all. God said, no. I gave instructions to you. You didn't act on them. Some of us will be asking God today, is there something you said I haven't done? Please remind me. He will. He's the God of another chance. Just remind me if there is something you wanted me to do I haven't done. Or something you said I didn't take serious. I'm sorry. He will remind you. And then you pick up your journey from there. But let me tell you, the commandments of God are not grievous. Don't ever think that God will ask you to do something that will cause you losses. It is always profitable to hear the voice of God. Always profitable to do the will of God. Always profitable to fulfill the purpose of God. Why was Abraham hearing God all the time? Because when God spoke, he moved. Why was David always hearing God? Because whenever God spoke, he acted. Why are we not hearing God in our generation? We are so sluggish. We are so slack. Some people say, some unbelievers appear more successful than most Christians. There are many reasons, but I'll tell you one. When the native doctor tells the man, on your way out, don't shake anybody's hand today. Say, really? All right, it's done. I won't even greet anybody.
when God says it, or pastor says it, the devil says, calm down. It's not that serious. So the unbeliever billionaire who is dealing with realms in the occult, servicing diverse altars, is flying as if there is no challenge. And the Christian man who is meant to be a multi-billionaire is struggling because ordinary tithe he can't pay. Ordinary offering he can't pay. Pastor is his age mate. No value for the anointing, no value for the oil, no value for nothing. But it's changing today. Stand up on your feet. It's changing today. It's changing today. It's changing today. We are taking over. Stand up on your feet. Lift up your hands. Please let me make an appeal. I want to beg us, please endeavor, especially those who just came or who are just still coming. Please don't move until the grace is shared. It can be very distracting. I just got to know that there are some people who come to church and try to catch a flight. That is understood. Especially when we used to have 6 to 8, they will attend the first service and then rush to the airport. And some still come to church and still try to rush. That can be understood. And if you explain that to the usher, it's understood. But please, otherwise, don't walk out on God and don't walk out on the presence of God. It's disrespectful. I also want to appeal to us. Service is now 7 a.m. combined. Very soon, it will return back to multiple overflooded services. Very, very shortly. If we all give the Lord a big clap, if we do that too. But until that time, which is not going to be far from now, I want you to maintain 7. 7 o'clock is 7. Don't keep God waiting. You can't keep a governor waiting. You can't keep a president waiting. And God is the president general of the universe. Don't keep him waiting. Don't keep him waiting. So, delete late coming. He said, those who seek me early, what will happen to them? They will find me. You will find God today. You will find God today. Come with your big beard. Let me pray for you. Big beard. Doesn't he look like Abraham? Father Abraham. Fresh. Season of frustration over. Season of labor without reward over. Season of struggle without success over. Lift up your hands everywhere you are. Thank him for the word he just said this morning. Lay your hands upon me, Lord. Lay your hands on me. Lay your hands on me. Oh Lord, I need your hands. Mashabadagaya. Open your mouth and speak to God. Thank you for the word and begin to ask him for his hands. Lay your hands, lay your hands, lay your hands. Lay your hands upon me, Lord. Lay your hands on me, Lord. Mashabadagaya. Lay your hands on me. Oh Lord, I need your hands. Lay your hands upon me, Lord. Lay your hands on me. Masheko dagalagaya dada. Lift your hands and sing it. Lay your hands upon me, Lord. Mashadada. Lay your hands on me. Lay your hands on me. Oh Lord, I need Mashadada. Lift your voice. Mashadada. Yeah. Lord, to be completely free. Give me, Lord, the grace for expectancy. Help me with the discipline of the fasting, of the fast. Help me, Lord, with control over my thought. And today, I ask that you lay your hands upon me. Lift your hands high, people. The hand of the Lord as the minstrel played, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha. 2 Kings 3 and in verse 16, 15 and 16. And he began to speak as he heard. When this hand comes upon you, your ears open now. Your eyes will open now. When this hand comes upon you like it came upon Elijah, you will be empowered to run faster than your contemporaries. Every limitation the enemy has put in front of you shall be uprooted by the release of his hand. That's right. And we are here today trusting God for family and marital breakthrough. Listen to this very carefully. The Lord showed me yokes of singleness being broken right now. Foundations of anti-marital spell. Foundations. Whatever has made you not to be able to marry or made your marriage not to work, the foundation of it shall be dissolved right now. The yokes of barrenness. Then he talked about hidden covenants. Some people are not fruitful. Not because there is a sin on their part, but covenants that are hidden. This morning, they shall be broken. Might not be covenant that you made, but some demonic ancestral covenant. This morning, they shall be broken. Spiritual relationships. Preventing physical fruitfulness. And then altered dedications. Whether you or your family or your lineage was dedicated to a water deity or anywhere the dedication happened, that is preventing you from being who you are meant to be today, that yoke is broken. As the hand of the Lord comes upon you this morning, encounters, deliverances, freedom, direction, revelation, eyes open, ears open, hearts open to receive God. Are you ready? Lift your hands up. Lay your hand. Everywhere we are connected around the world, the same result. Lay your hand. Lay your head.
Little hands at the count of three. You bring the hand on yourself and scream, I receive. Or rather, you scream, touch. The hand of the Lord is about to touch you. At the count of three, direction will come. The yoke of barrenness, singleness, anti-marital yokes, ancestral generational family curse is breaking. Direction is coming. Help from above is coming. Lift your hands at the count of three. You place the hand on your head and scream, touch, and begin to blast in the spirit, and chains will break. That's right. That's right. Yesterday evening he showed me a family chained hand to hand, like the days of slave trade. Lord, what is happening? See, that is the situation of that family. It looks like an ancestral dealing with slave trade made their family today to be in chains. But this morning, that chain shall be broken. The chain of slavery 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 shall be broken. The spirit of death shall be broken. I see a crooked bone condition being healed also by the power of God. Lift up your hands now at the count of three. That's right. Something is already happening. It's already happening. You scream, touch, and place the hand on your head. At that count of three, Father, let your touch happen. Let your touch happen. Let your touch happen. In the name of Jesus. One, two. Receive that touch of freedom again. In the name of Jesus. One, two, and three. And give him the praise. Give him the praise. Give him the praise. Something just happened. Wave your hands and give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name. Please be seated 1 minute.